Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. The approaching summer is typically a time we associate with theater company performances offerings ramping down, but that's hardly the case with the Florida Repertory Theater here in Fort Myers. Members of the company are hard at work preparing for the 6th annual Playlab Festival, which runs from May 9th through the 12th at the Florida Rep's Art Stage Studio Theater. The festival gives emerging and established playwrights an opportunity to workshop and develop their new plays with a director and a cast of professional actors. The four-day festival will culminate with a public reading of 5 new stage plays and 1 musical. Joining me now in studio for a preview of the festival is longtime Florida Rep member, actor, and director Jason Parrish. Parrish currently serves as the Florida Rep's associate director, and he's overseen the Playlab Festival since its inception. He'll also be directing the festival's first musical this year, titled The Circle Game. Jason Parrish, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks, John. It's a pleasure to be here again.
We're also joined by the Florida Rep's artistic director, Greg Longenhagen, who is also an actor and director and a founding member of the company. During this year's festival, Longenhagen will be directing the play Good Americans. Greg Longenhagen, great to reconnect with you today as well.
Hi, John. It's great to be with you.
And fittingly, as joining us by phone is the playwright who created the piece Longenhagen will be directing, Bruce Graham. Graham is also an actor and author. He began his career as a playwright at the Philadelphia Festival Theater for New Plays, where he became playwright in residence and later served 2 years as artistic director. He received grants from the Pew Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and was a past winner of the Princess Grace Foundation statuette. He's also won the Rosenthal Prize for his work Coyote on a Fence, and he's won consecutive Barrymore Awards for Best New Play and Chicago's Jefferson Award. Graham also teaches playwriting and film courses at Drexel University. He's also taught graduate playwriting courses at the University of Pennsylvania, Villanova University, and at Rutgers, in addition to conducting playwriting workshops at high schools and colleges across the country. He's even co-written a textbook on playwriting. Bruce Graham, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
So Bruce is on an airplane right now, but
he's not with us quite yet. Okay.
He'll be here by the end. We'll blame the airlines for that.
Okay, sounds good. But we are joined by phone by playwright Daryl Lisa Fazio, whose play Safety Net is selected to be part of this year's festival. And she is also an actor and a lyricist and freelance graphic designer. Her plays and musicals have been produced off-Broadway and in professional, regional, and international theaters. They've also been produced in workshops in academic settings, including at Emory University, Coastal Carolina University, and Truman State University, to name a few. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for taking the time.
Great to be here. Thanks.
And as a reminder, listeners can join our conversation by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And Jason, let's start with you. Since you've been overseeing this festival since its inception, tell me how this first came about. And maybe for those who are unfamiliar with the concept, explain a little bit about how this works.
So, in recent years, regional theaters like Florida Rep and organizations like the National New Play Network out of D.C., of which we're an associate member, we've all started to develop new works on our own, because the old model of plays being developed and landing on Broadway first and then making their way to the regions isn't necessarily the model anymore. So organizations like the New Play Network and regional theaters like us have taken up the charge. And so 6 years ago, we committed to doing a festival. And that first year, we read 4 plays, plus we commissioned a play for young audiences. And so that festival has taken off in those years. And every year since that festival, we have produced one of those plays in a subsequent Florida Rep season. So 26 new play readings, 2 of those were commissioned works that are now available across the country. And we've done 5 world premieres or second productions of those plays since the inception of the festival, including an upcoming world premiere of Alabaster by Audrey Cephaly in next season that was read last May.
All right. So, 5 plays, 1 musical. It seems like competition will be pretty tough for this. How do you select plays? Do playwrights reach out to you, or do you go looking for new works?
So we always we put a submission out through the National New Play Network. They have something called the New Play Exchange. So we submit post a call for submissions through the National New Play Network and on our own website. And any festival playwright who's been through our festival before also gets it. Literary agents who we work with get those that call for submissions. We accept 75 plays. That's about what we have the infrastructure to read. Mm. We read those 75 plays, and then over the course of the next few months, we evaluate those plays with our reading committee, and then my festival partners, Greg, was involved this year as well, but Brendan Powers, who's an ensemble member, and Olivia Pedigo, our artistic associate on staff, we sort of put the puzzle together, and we try to select a wide variety of plays that reflects the wide variety of work that Florida Rep does on its main stage. So that's why of the six plays, we're all over the map as far as comedies, dramas, musicals this year.
And you're directing The Circle Game, the first musical that the Playlab Festival has tackled. It just seems like the element of music would just add a whole nother level of complexity that for a four-day festival seems kind of daunting. I'm wondering why you made the decision to include a musical this year.
Well, Vicky Casella is someone who's worked with us numerous times before as an arranger and music director. She recently music directed Tenderly, and she pitched a musical to me over the summer. It's a musical review that you can tell from the title, if those of you who are paying attention, I suppose. It's a musical review of 60s and 70s music. So Joni Mitchell, Laura Nero, the list goes on. It's an amazing list of songs. She pitched that musical to me as a vehicle for the music of her youth as she was growing up. And the story is a husband and wife in their later years are about to have a grandchild, and from that point, they look backwards to how they met. There was a sibling who was in Vietnam, so he makes an appearance. And so we chose to do a musical this year because we thought we needed the festival to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And it does present a challenge. It opens you up to a whole larger number of submissions. So we didn't accept musical submissions this year. We just sort of said we were going to do Vicky's play.
Gotcha.
And her writing partner, Michael Bias, and Vicky will be with us. And so it just seemed like the right choice at the right time. And, you know, 5-6 years ago when we did this festival, there were no blueprints for it. We just sort of did it. And of course, it was daunting, but it worked, and it worked well. So then we learned from that, and I continued putting on another festival and another festival. And so it is every year you sort of say, okay, we've learned. Now how do we grow? So we added keynote address 2 years ago, and then this year we're going to do a musical.
Excellent. And Greg Longenhagen, as I mentioned a moment ago, 4 days isn't very much time to prepare for a live stage reading. You know, have actors and roles already been selected? I mean, are folks here in Southwest Florida already beginning to familiarize themselves with the plays before the playwrights arrive?
Well, John, I hope so. I hope so. They should be doing that. You know, John, we have, as you probably already know, we have an ensemble of artists, which includes many actors, and many of those ensemble members will be included in the Playlab this year. But many of the other actors that fill out, for instance, the play that I'll be directing, Good Americans, are coming from different parts of the state. We have someone coming in from New York. I believe we have someone coming in from Philadelphia. So it really is a wide gamut of artists from different areas, and I'm guessing most of them all have the scripts. They've read the script and agreed to come in and read those parts. I'm certainly working on it. I know Jason's probably diligently working on The Circle Game, and that's how it is with scripts. I think you like to read it, maybe you'll set it down, pick it back up, set it back down. That's how I think you find the best way in.
Of this festival is that no, we're not rehearsing yet. The first rehearsal will start Tuesday.
Wow.
Greg's play Good Americans kicks off the festival. They rehearse Wednesday, Thursday, and perform Wednesday night. So they get 15 total hours of rehearsal and reading performance time. So it's electric because when an audience gets in there, they haven't had a whole lot of time to rehearse it. And so you like that. I like that sense of anything could happen. It's rehearsed, but you don't feel settled in just yet, and it keeps it alive.
Sure, sure.
It makes the actors have to listen to each other.
Yes. And Daryl, I wanted to bring you into the conversation. Your play Safety Net is going to be featured during this festival. Can you maybe just tell us a little bit about the play?
Sure. I like to write plays about strong, resilient, funny, three-dimensional women who I think are sadly underrepresented in the American theater. And so that's what this play is. It's three women. It's set against the backdrop of the opioid crisis in Alabama, and one character is a first responder, and another character is her mother, and so that relationship, mother-daughter relationship, is central, and her mother is struggling with some chronic pain. And then this woman comes into their lives who is a recovering addict. And so addiction is clearly a strong theme, but so is just how we help each other get through hard things. And a lot of it is laughing.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of coping strategies. And I guess I like to write plays that help us understand other people's struggles and to empathize with them and hopefully then go out and make the world better. So.
All right. And, you know, with a work like this, and I understand that that is, as you mentioned, you know, sort of a theme that runs through your work, sort of bringing to life, you know, as you said, three-dimensional complex female characters that you develop and, you know, really just trying to give women actresses more interesting roles to work with, which, you know, I applaud. I think it's wonderful. But after you create a work like this, I mean, I feel like I would feel, and I'm not a playwright, but it would, like, it's my baby. And I don't know that I would want to just trust some random actors and a director to work with me on this. But, you know, you're no stranger to the Florida Rep. I mean, you've worked with them in a number of capacities, including past iterations of this festival and even some of your graphic design work, correct?
That's right.
So what does a festival like this do for you?
Well, first I would say in terms of trust, Florida Rep is a place I consider a home away from home, and I trust those artists implicitly, and I trust them to bring artists to my work who are going to make the best of it. And I also I get the privilege of acting in this one as well.
Oh, excellent.
So, and it's something I wrote here to do in Atlanta as an actor, and so it's just getting to kind of go out of town and have that experience as well. But the other actresses will be different people from whom I usually work. A festival like this, it's just like what Jason said, you know, it's like that you really get to appreciate how a play is a living, breathing thing. Because lots of times with productions, it can get so mired in all of the complexity of this polished, final big thing and reviews and all of the ticket sales and the trappings of all of that pressure. With a reading series and a workshop and a play lab setting, you're just putting it on the screen and seeing what happens. And as a playwright, you're still very much learning what it is and who it is and who the people are in it. And getting to work with artists who are also fresh to the play, they can bring incredible, fresh insight, and discoveries happen, you know, minute by minute. And a lot of them, just like Jason said, where anything can happen in that final performance, happen in that final performance. You do it, and you go, oh, my gosh. And you hear the reactions of the audience. They're laughing, or they're not laughing, or they're crying, or they're doing things you expected, but some things you didn't. And that happens in a couple days. Yeah, it's incredibly exciting.
Now, Daryl, I have to ask, do you consider this to be like a completed work at this point, or could things come out of the workshopping and development that's going to take place over the course of this festival that might make you say, you know what, I want to change this line or I want to approach this differently?
Oh, playwrights can never leave it alone.
Okay.
it's never finished. I mean, you pick up a copy of a Tennessee Williams play, there's like four different endings. From different productions. Yeah, you have to be willing to see where things can improve and change and get better, and all of that is what those particular artists bring. Like I said, that bring those new discoveries. But then sometimes they're just things that you realize, oh, that's an error, or that's something that starts in the beginning and then doesn't get picked up again later. And that also comes out of new people, new eyes, new brains on it. So yes, absolutely, 100%. It will get some judicious editing, I'm sure, after this experience, because it's got a production coming up in the fall. And part of this process will be about making the play even stronger.
Right. And I wanted to hear from each of you on this because you're all sort of involved in this in some way. And Daryl, I'll start with you because it's interesting. You're going to be both a playwright and an actor working with another director. And I'm just wondering how kind of like that creative power dynamic even works. Because, I mean, it's not if you're directing like the Glass Menagerie, you don't have to worry about Tennessee Williams looking over your shoulder being like, no, you're doing it wrong. But here you've got like the creator and you've got a director. And then, Daryl, you add this whole third element by being an actor as well.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, and there's certainly a lot of feeling each other out when you don't know each other already. And it is such a fast process. But again, it comes back to trust. And it also comes back to what do each of us want to get out of this process. And typically in a setting like this, and Florida Rep has really poised us in this sort of mentality of this is a safe place, this is focused on the play and the playwright. That is what is the primary, that is who we're serving, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And all the other stuff is just sort of part of the presentation aspect to the audience. But we're here to make the play better. And so I, as an actor, I'm here to make the play better. I'm here to listen to the director, but she's most interested in what I need to learn as a playwright and how to make the play better. I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah. What about you, Jason?
And I would say I wouldn't have made the choice to put the playwright in the play lightly, and I didn't. So this particular play is pretty far along in its development. So while Daryl may make small changes here or there, we do look for plays that are ready for the next phase for us, which is we want to produce it shortly thereafter. So we're looking for plays that are well put together, and this one is very well put together. And also, Daryl worked with us last year. She came down to be our keynote speaker but acted in another play by a different playwright with another of the actresses, our ensemble member Rachel Bertram, who will be in this play as well. So this wasn't it wasn't a hasty decision, you know. So it was made based on years and years of work with Daryl and you know, I did consider, is that going to be a conflict of interest? Is, you know, am I going to need her brain in two places? But because the play, I think, is so strong and in such a strong place, I think it's great for her. And she's going to play this role in the fall in Atlanta. So it was actually her idea. She said, do you mind if I try it out with you? And I said, yeah, that's let me consider it and read it and look at it. And so it definitely made the right it feels like it's the right choice mm-hmm. for this moment. So, and it's thrilling. It's exciting for an audience to be able to, in a talk back, ask her what it's like to be an actress and a playwright and what it's like to be an actress acting in her own play for one of its early readings. Yeah. So that just is it enhances the experience for everyone, I think.
Excellent.
It's like having two heads.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we are coming up towards the end of the hour here, but I wanted to make sure folks understood how they can participate. Because if you're not an actor, director, or playwright, yeah. There's still going to be an opportunity to be an audience member. And I understand there's a few different ways folks can do that if they want to see just one production or all the productions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can get tickets to each reading singly for $20, or you could do what we have, we call an all-access pass for $99, and that gets you all of the readings plus the keynote address. And then it's general admission in our studio theater. So this year we're allowing for a slight upcharge to $125. You can get a VIP seating section where we'll reserve some of those seats.
All right. And this traditional theater season for the Florida Rep has been, you know, pretty amazing. I'm reading about record attendance levels. Your gala recently raised more than $500,000. Looks like a lot of success and big things are going to continue coming from the Florida Rep. Is there anything you'd want to say about the upcoming season, or do you want to keep that under wraps and we can revisit that as we get closer to the fall?
No, we can talk about that, John. We're happy to do so. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, Greg.
No, we have a terrific season ready for our audiences next year. And we're going to be starting with Always Patsy Cline. That opens on September 27th. And in true Florida Rep fashion, we'll have a wide variety of pieces. So then we move into The Fox on the Fairway, a fantastic Ken Ludwig farce, a beautiful psychological thriller, and inspector calls will be during our holiday time in December. Then we'll be producing Alabaster, which is the play that Daryl was participating in as an actor last season. Jason will be directing that. That's a play from our National New Playwork Festival, and it's our it's part of the Rolling World premiere. Barefoot in the Park will be at next season. Great Neil Simon comedy, romantic comedy. The Tony Award-winning musical comedy, A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, will be playing at our theater. We'll be doing also Every Brilliant Thing, which is a beautiful piece, one-person show. That'll be in our small space. Last season's Broadway hit A Doll's House Part 2. And then we'll finish up the season with a terrific, really funny David Lindsay A Bear play called Ripcord. And that'll finish out our main stage season. But, of course, we're always active here, John. We're constantly, you know, we have our conservatory program. PlayLab has grown immensely over the last 6 years. And we're busy 365 days over here at The Rep.
Well, sounds great, Greg. Thanks so much. That is all the time we have for today's show. But thanks to our guests, Jason Parrish and Greg Longenhagen with the Florida Repertory Theater, as well as playwright Daryl Lisa Fazio, whose work Safety Net is going to be featured as part of the PlayLab Festival. That's going to run May 9th through the 12th. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and yours truly. Our director is Richard Cinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, and PR for Southwest Florida.